verses that we concluded our class with Sunday morning. Just read them once again. It says, as for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the plan. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the house, its structure, its exits, its entrances, all its designs, all its statutes, and all its laws, and write it in their sight, so that they may observe its whole design and all its statutes to do them. This is the law of the house. Its entire area on the top of the mountain all round shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. So three times he says, this is the law of the house. He's certainly emphasizing the fact that, you know, as he told Moses, make things, all things according to the pattern that I gave you. Don't deviate from it. And certainly here's a group of people that should realize that their iniquities is what caused the first temple to be destroyed. And so they should especially pay attention to the fact that, and appreciate the fact that they are to honor and revere this plan for the temple that's been revealed to them. So this is kind of a review of the purpose of the temple vision. They are to be ashamed of their iniquities, all that they have done, by observing that it was for their sin that the first temple was destroyed. Let them measure the plan, make known to them the design of the house. They were to observe the holiness of the new temple with all of its walls and gates, separating that which is holy from that which is unholy. They were to observe its whole design and all of its statutes and do them. And then there's the references that we noticed Sunday about make all things according to the pattern. So the same principle is being expressed here. So we continue then into verse 13. We see that the subject changes to the focus on the altar of the burnt offerings. It says, and these are the measurements of the altar by cubits, the cubit being a cubit and a handbreadth. The base shall be a cubit, and the width a cubit, and its border on its edge round about one span. And this shall be the height of the base of the altar. And from the base on the ground to the lower ledge shall be two cubits, the width one cubit. And from the smaller ledge to the larger ledge shall be four cubits, and the width one cubit. The altar hearth shall be four cubits, and from the hearth shall be 12 cubits long by 12 wide, square in its four sides. And the ledge shall be 14 cubits long by 14 wide in its four sides. The border round about it shall be half a cubit, and its base shall be a cubit round about, and its steps shall face the east. So here we have the measurements of the altar. The altar is located in the geometric center of the temple area. Regardless of which gate one entered, they were confronted with the sacrificial altar. So we put this diagram, if you will, of what we believe this is describing to us. Here it is. And you see the altar that we're talking about. The other day we kept pushing on that and it kept getting brighter. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to do it this time or not. But I can see it on my hand. You see it? There we go. Right there. So that's the altar that he's talking about. And so it's interesting to me, regardless of which of the gates you would enter, you're going to notice as we go into chapter 44, this east gate is going to be closed. But regardless of which gate you would enter the temple area, through the gates you would be able to see the sacrificial altar. So the first thing you're reminded of when you enter the temple is your sin. You know, and a sacrifice. You're going to offer a sacrifice. A life is going to be given as an atonement for your sin. So, again, the cubits, the longer cubit, the cubit and a hand breadth, is the one that they are to measure by. This is about 21 inches in length, whereas a standard cubit is about 17 inches. There's kind of a diagram, if you will, of what the altar may have looked like. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time understanding all that. But bottom line is it would have ended up looking something like this. If you're looking at it from the side, you're coming up, and then you double the base here. And if you're looking at it from the top, you've got the horns on each corner of the top, steps going up. So that's what they're looking at. That's what they're supposed to build. And I'm confident that that is indeed what they built. Any questions there on any of that, or observations, or insight? Yes. I think so. Yep. Yeah. It's just a continuation of it. Yeah, but here he spoke focusing right on the construction of the sacrificial altar. Okay? Whereas the other was the temple and the temple grounds and that sort of thing. Okay? And he said to me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the statutes for the altar on the day it is built, to offer a burnt offering, to offer burnt offerings on it, and to sprinkle blood on it. So these are the statutes concerning the service of the altar. And you shall give to the Levitical priest, who are from the offspring of Zadok, who draw near to me to minister to me, declares the Lord God. Zadok was the first high priest of Solomon's temple. The reference there is to 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 35. He was a descendant of Phinehas, who was given the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. And you can read about that in Numbers 25 and verse 13. Priests from other families were not allowed to serve because of their past idolatrous practices. They were regulated to other temple tasks. And you can read about that in the next chapter, chapter 44, verses 9 through 14. We'll go ahead and read that right now. It says, Thus saith the Lord God, No foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, of all the foreigners who are among the sons of Israel shall enter my sanctuary. But the Levites, who went far away from me when Israel went astray, who went astray from me after their idols, shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having oversight at the gates of the house and ministering in the house. They shall slaughter the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols, and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel, therefore I have sworn against them, declares the Lord God, that they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. And they shall not come near to me to serve as a priest to me, nor come near to any of my holy things, to the things that are most holy, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Yet I will appoint them to keep charge of the house, of all its service, and all that shall be done in it. So they weren't permitted to go into the holy place. They certainly weren't permitted to go into the most holy place. They were permitted to serve the people, to receive the sacrifices from the people, to take the sacrifices into the inner court for them to be slaughtered and so forth. They were in charge of, we might say, the temple grounds, you know, everything but the temple proper, you know, the holy place and, of course, the most holy place. Part of their punishment for their previous sin was that they were not permitted to come near to God. They were allowed to serve the people, okay, but they weren't allowed to come near to God. Yeah.
So it's almost like they were demoted to the rank of a Levite.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were Levites.
They were Levites, but
yeah.
They were also priests, but because of what they had done, it was like they were demoted just to the left by Levites.
Right.
The Levites' jobs.
Right.
Yeah,
it seems that there was like a duty roster previously, and any of the priests could, serve in the temple and so forth, and you'd be on a rotation, but they're out of that rotation now, okay? And the only ones who are in that rotation are descendants of Zadok. Okay. He goes on and says, declares the Lord God, a young bull for a sin offering, and you shall take some of its blood and put it on its four horns and on the four corners of the ledge and on the border round about. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it. You shall also take the bull for the sin offering, and it shall be burned in the appointed place of the house outside the sanctuary. So, after construction of the altar and before it is put into service, it had to be purified and consecrated. And that's what he's describing here. The first day is the blood of a bull, okay, a young bull, okay, is to be sprinkled on the horns of the altar and around the ledge. The bull itself was to be taken outside of the temple area. It's not to be offered on the altar, but it's to be burned in another place that they knew about, but we don't know about. So on the first day, the altar would be cleansed with the blood of a young bull. It goes on, verse 21, you shall also take the bull of the sin offering, and it shall be burned in the appointed place of the house outside the sanctuary. And on the second day, you shall offer a male goat without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleansed it with the bull. And so on the second day, the cleansing continued with the blood of a male goat without blemish in the same manner as the young bull. Blood placed on the horns, on the ledge around about, goat, the body of the goat taken outside the temple and burned. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall present a young bull without blemish and a ram without blemish from the flock. And you shall present them before the Lord, and the priest shall throw salt on them, and they shall offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. And so when the cleansing was finished, a young bull without blemish and a ram without blemish were offered with salt on the altar as a burnt offering to the Lord. So these will be the first sacrifices, okay? Some speculation about what's the significance of throwing salt on them. We don't know for sure. I think one of the more reasonable comments that I read was that salt, being a preservative, that this would be representative of this continuing covenant with the children of Israel, this confirmation of the covenant and it being continual, preserving by the Lord and by their continued obedience to Him. So the offering of a goat, a bull, and a ram was to continue for 7 days. And that's what we have here in verse 25. For 7 days you shall prepare daily a goat for a sin offering. Also a young bull and a ram from the flock without blemish shall be prepared. For 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it, so shall they consecrate it. So this whole process here is a process of purification and consecration. So there's an initial, like, 2-day purifying, and then offering of sacrifices on the altar is the consecrating of it, the dedicating of it. And when they have completed the days, it shall be that on the 8th day and onward, the priest shall offer your burnt offerings on the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, declares the Lord God. So on the 8th day, the consecrating of the altar having been completed, the general use of the altar to offer the burnt offerings and the peace offerings of the people could begin and continue. Okay, so they've got 7 days of purification, consecration. On the 8th day, you can start using it. The people can start using it for it to offer their sin offerings and their peace offerings. And there will be, you know, different stipulations concerning the, you know, the sin offerings. The people couldn't have any of that meat back. Peace offering, they could have some of that meat back for their own consumption, because it represented a fellowship between them and God. And it's like they've invited God to sit down and eat with them, you know, type of thing. And by means of the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, the devout child, the devout, could be accepted by God and be in fellowship with Him. Okay, and that's pretty much chapter 43. Anybody have any questions about anything there or observations, Pax? Yeah, and that point's going to be repeated again in chapter 44, and it's going to go on. You know, he said, and again, I mean, just to summarize it, he's saying, be sure that you make things all things according to the pattern. You know, make just like the altar, just like the temple grounds, and now the priest. Be sure, you know, that it's Zadok, that he's in the temple proper, and the other Levitical priests, that they're where they're supposed to be. Be sure that you consecrate the altar like it's supposed to be, you know. And so, you know, like you say, you know, well, they should be familiar. Yeah, they should be, but they've taken that for granted before. So it's important for him to reiterate it. And that's why it's important what he said before. You know, they're going to remember that it's their sin that caused the first temple and the first altar to be destroyed and for God to leave. And so this should have even more resonating with them, because, you know, if it wasn't for us, we wouldn't have to build another temple. You know, we wouldn't have to be told this all over again. Okay. So God is working on that, on their history. Rose? Yeah. Yeah, and Ezra's thinking, man, they're not going to do this. You know, but they did. They did. Can I? Yeah. Yeah. But who did they belong to, per se? No. No. It would have been considered common property of the people of Israel. Anybody else? All right. Let's move into chapter 44 then. Chapter 44, verse 1 through chapter 45 and verse 8 talks about the duties and the inheritance for the priests. The Levites received no land as a possession because the Lord was their possession, verse 28 of chapter 44 says. There we go. So the first thing that Ezekiel was shown here is that the east gate is now closed. He brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces the east, and it was shut. And the Lord said to me, "This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it, for the Lord God of Israel has entered by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. As for the prince, he shall sit in it as prince to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of the gate and shall go out by the same way." So Ezekiel was shown that the east gate is now shut. The Lord had entered the temple grounds by the way of this gate, and for that reason the gate was to remain shut, and no one was permitted to enter the temple grounds by it any longer. The prince shall sit in it and eat bread before the Lord, but he shall enter and exit the gate complex by way of the porch, not from the east. So if we bring our graphic back up here, of course, this is the east gate, and you know, you've got steps coming up to it. You enter, and there's guard rooms here. You remember the guard rooms that it talked about. And then there's like a, it's not real apparent in this graphic, but there was also a porch area right here. So he's saying the prince can enter this gate area, but he enters it through the outer court. He doesn't enter it through the outer entrance. He enters it actually through the, you might say, the entrance into the, it goes in the back way and comes out the same way. Okay? So who's the prince? That would be Christ. Is he talking about a literal meal here? I have no record of that, do we? So, again, keep in mind that this is apocalyptic language. We're talking about fellowship. You know, when you're talking about a meal, you're talking about having fellowship, having in common. And that's what's being expressed here. What do they have in common? And really what's being said is, who has the right? The presence of Almighty God has entered through the East Gate. Who has the right to be in that area that Almighty God had been in? Well, His Son. Okay? So, that's what's being referred to there. Yeah. Yeah, this whole area right here was the gate. Okay, so you would, and they all had steps going up to it. I mean, they're all exactly the same. The entrances are exactly the same in their construction. Okay. Oh yeah, the altar here. Well, that's true. That's true. Well, here's the altar. Okay. So there's the steps up to the altar. But to come up to this level, so you come up from ground level up to the outer court level, then you come up from the outer court level to the inner court level, and from the inner court level you'd come up to the temple proper, okay? And from the, I'm losing it. It's gone. Still got a little bit here. But you see the steps going up to the altar too. And they only go up from the east side. But the other gates, okay, are present up to the outer court, up to the inner court. You see? Those are all the same. And they were fairly large. I mean, each one of these little rooms right here, they're something like 10 cubits by something, weren't they? If I remember right. Pretty good size. Okay, and those were guard rooms. Okay, so that, and that's just an indication of God's protection. You know, I mean, a lot of the city walls of the Jews that they built, their gates into the city would be constructed the same way. In other words, it wasn't a gate you just walked in. You know, one side of the wall you're outside, and the next side of the wall you're inside. No, you had to go through these guard areas and so forth, which if you were attacking the city, wouldn't be easy to get through. Okay, so you know that something became rather common in Jewish construction. Okay, but God's the one who gave them the pattern, if you will. But yeah, your point about him being the priest and so forth and entering and the sacrifices his own body. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it's all by the eye of faith. It's not something that was literally performed, but it was something that we see spiritually being fulfilled in Christ. Okay, verse 4, and here's where you get into the qualifications for the temple service. He says, "Then he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the statutes of the house of the Lord and concerning all of its laws, and mark well the entrance of the house with all of its exits." So again, listen to all that I'm saying to you. Mark well what I'm saying, okay? Don't take any of this casually. This is all important, okay? "And you shall say to the rebellious ones, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, enough of all your abominations, O house of Israel, when you brought in foreigners and the uncircumcised in heart and the uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to profane it, even my house, when you offered my food, the fat of the blood and the blood, for they made my covenant void, this in addition to all your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things yourselves, but you have set foreigners to keep charge of my sanctuary." An example of what God is charging them with is found in 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4, where the Korahites are serving as temple guards. The returning exiles paid particular attention to these regulations. We see that you can run these references, Ezra 4, the first three verses, chapter 10, verses 10 through 44, Nehemiah chapter 13 and the first nine verses, Haggai chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. They drew the boundaries around this new temple. Near Herod's temple, the Jews posted a sign warning Gentiles that if any should pass beyond a certain point, they would immediately be put to death. That sign has been found by archaeologists. So they took this serious, and they posted signs, warning, if you're a Gentile, don't go any farther, or you're going to die. "Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh of all the foreigners who are among the sons of Israel shall enter my sanctuary." Some Bibles have a new paragraph starting there. Others have the new paragraph starting at verse 10. I don't know if this is just a way of introducing the rest of what he's saying, or anyway, I think it could read either way. This is what we read before here, beginning with verse 10. It said the Levites were regulated to the menial temple task. Verse 15, we'll just pick up there. "But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat of the blood, declares the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, they shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. And it shall be when they enter at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be on them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner court and in the house. Linen turbans shall be on their head, and linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that makes them sweat. And when they go out into the outer court, into the outer court of the people, they shall put off their garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. Then they shall put on other garments that they may not transmit holiness to the people with their garments. And they shall not shave their heads, yet they shall not let their locks grow long. They shall only trim the hair of their heads. So it's the Zadokites who are selected to serve as temple priests. And that's what we have here actually through as we continue into verse 27. Nor shall any of the priests drink wine when they enter the inner court. They shall not marry a widow or a divorced woman, but they shall take virgins from the offspring of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. Moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in a dispute, they shall take their stand to judge. They shall judge it according to my ordinances. They shall also keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed feasts and sanctify my Sabbaths. And they shall not go to a dead person to defile themselves. However, for father, for mother, for son, for daughter, for brother, or for sister who has not had a husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, 7 days shall elapse for him. And on the day that he goes into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, declares the Lord God. So these are all ordinances that God is giving particularly to the priest of the order of Zadok, I guess would be a way to say it. You know, and you can look at all that and you say, well, why this and why that? And because God said so. Okay, that's the way he's going to keep them holy. All right, that's what this all comes back to. And, you know, if they get to asking the questions, well, why this and why that, and that seems unreasonable, they start acting like Cain, then they're going to be right back where they were before they went into captivity. See, why does God want an animal sacrifice? Well, we can kind of reason that out, but Cain didn't know, okay? But all that mattered, should have mattered to Cain is, that's what God said, okay? And that's what we need to look at as we go through these and these particular things that God has chosen to keep these priests holy. Why should it be this way? Because God said so. And that's good enough for me. And it shall be with regard in an inheritance for them, that I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat of the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, and every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all first fruits, and every kind of every contribution of every kind, from all your contributions shall be for the priest. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat any bird or beast that has died a natural death or has been torn to pieces. That's it. That's chapter 44. And I realize we went through that pretty quick, but it's pretty self-explanatory. So we're ready to go into chapter 45 on Sunday morning.